And as I was seeking the Lord, I felt led to speak on the lost coin. Now, the lost coin is part of the Lost trilogy. Now, I know you all think that Hollywood invented the trilogy, but no, apparently not. Jesus actually had three parables about something that's lost and found. Parable of the lost sheep, and the shepherd leaves the 99 and finds the one. Then we've got the parable in the middle, the lost coin, which we're going to look at this morning. And then we have the last parable, which is the lost son or the prodigal son. Although you read the story, there's really two lost sons in that story. So why did Jesus choose to have a trilogy on being lost? Well, because it's extremely important, of course, but it was in relation to and in response to the Pharisees' question about Jesus. And we're going to turn together to Luke chapter 15, which is where the parable of the lost coin is. And it's only three verses. But at the very start of the chapter, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him." This is Jesus. "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And it goes on to say, "So he told them this parable, then the next parable, and the next parable." Because you see, Jesus came for the lost. The Pharisees didn't quite get it. They thought Jesus had come for the righteous, quote, righteous, those that had upheld the law. And they're like, "What on earth are you doing, Jesus? You're a rabbi. You're supposed to be some, you know, teacher of the law. And yet you are going to have dinner with the tax collectors." And by the way, if you work for HMRC, this doesn't apply to you. Okay, just to clarify, these are the tax collectors back then, and they were a little bit unscrupulous. There's a few jokes, and I'm not going to go there. And the sinners, and they're like, "What are you doing eating with these guys?" And he's come, "Listen, I haven't come for the, quote, righteous. I've come for those that are lost." And that's why we've got the lost trilogy. Anybody lose anything this week? Anybody hands up? Anybody lost anything? No, are you? Melanie, lost something? A few of you. My little boy Daniel, right? Funny enough, I was writing this, I was working on my sermon on Thursday, and I was in my garden office, and I hear, "Dad, Dad, I've lost my football." And my immediate response, I didn't say this out loud, was, "Oh, bad timing, son." But he lost his ball, and it's his favorite ball. So I finished doing what I was doing. I was chopping and changing between different things in the talk. And I came out, I was like, "What's wrong, son?" "I've lost my ball, Dad." Like, "Okay, Don, can you just get it yourself?" "No, Dad, I need you to help me." "Okay, where is the ball?" "I think it's in the bushes there." "Great. Can you see it?" "I think so." So I just pushed the bushes back, and it's right in the middle. And I'm like, "There's no way I'm going in there, son." So the father sent the son. Good illustration, right? Unfortunately, he got quite scratched up. Seriously. But he came back, and he had saved the ball. So I thought that was an interesting illustration. Interesting timing. I didn't choose the lost coin after the illustration, by the way. Just want you to clarify. Came afterwards. But yeah, the father sent the son to get that which was lost. And that's indeed the story that we read in the scriptures, that the father sent the son for the lost. Now, we've recently been in the gospel series, haven't we? And we've looked at what it means to be lost. We've looked at the fact that the good news is good news because bad news exists. And the bad news is as real as the good news. And so Jesus here in the trilogy is explaining the lost. And so why don't we read this parable together? That's a good idea, isn't it? Where can I go on this? Let's go together to Luke. And we're going to read from Matthew 15. No, we read from Luke. One of those days. Luke 15. Here we go. Verses 8 to 10. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Wow, I just love that story. I mean, it's only three verses, but wow, what a story. And I want us to unpack this. You know, one of the things that Chris said last week was that parables are often like an onion. You know, we think we know a parable, and then we kind of read it again and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And my prayer is that you'll catch something new from this parable this morning. So why a coin? Well, what you may not know, and scholars have said that in Jewish time, it was custom that a bride, you see, would receive 10 silver coins, drachmas, as way of a dowry. She would receive these 10 coins. And what she would then do is she would sew them onto a veil as she waited for the consummation of her marriage following the betrothal, you see. And so while the coin has a monetary value, this was way more valuable for her. It signified her marriage to her beloved. And you see, what would happen is they would be betrothed, and then the groom would go to his father's house and prepare the chamber. And once the father has said to the son, "Yes, son, that's good enough," he then goes and sends the groom to get the bride. How cool is this? And do you know what? They would often come at midnight with trumpets, the last trump, yeah, with the wedding party, and they would get a chair, and they would get the bride and put her on the chair and raise her up. Can't make this stuff up, can you? That was a Jewish custom of the day. What does that remind you of when Jesus says, "Listen, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, for where there is many rooms. I will come back for you." Wow, he's our groom. We're the bride of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And what's the rapture? Well, that's the snatching away, the harpazo, to be with him in the bridal chamber. And they would spend 7 days in the bridal chamber, and we spend 7 years while the tribulation is happening, you see. Isn't this amazing stuff? I love the harmony of the Bible. I love the harmony of the story. And so this woman is in dire straits because she's lost something so valuable, one of the coins. Now, she doesn't say, "Well, blow it. Doesn't matter. I've got 9. She goes to look for that coin. Now, what does the coin represent? Well, it represents the souls of men and women who have been called to the marriage and the supper with the Lamb. You see, the coins represent men and women who have been invited to become the bride of Christ. Now, here's the thing. While the sheep, they wandered out of the pen through bad decisions, and they ended up in the wilderness. This is interesting because the coin is in the home, possibly for the negligence of someone else. I think that's rather interesting. And actually, the son is different. He's woefully disobedient, and he wants to make a decision to leave the father. And you see, all these different stories represent a different motive and a different way in which we are lost. And you see, some of you might be in this house right now and lost. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're a Christian. Or as I've heard someone say once upon a time, you might be a churchian. You just come to church, but that doesn't make you a Christian. And you see, you might be in this house and lost. And I don't want to leave you leaving this place this morning without an opportunity to be found. Maybe you are in a good home, a good Christian upbringing, but yet you're lost. Now, the thing about a coin, you see, is a coin has value. Why does a coin have value? Because it has the image of the sovereign imprinted on it. Oh, you gotta love this. Are you getting this? You see, we think our value is about how clean we are. I tell you, when I rummage around for old coins, they can be pretty dirty. But guess what? They retain their value. And don't we look at people and look at their value based on how clean, quote, they are? When God sees them, he sees the image of him on them. And that's the value. It says in the scriptures, it says, let us create man and woman in our own image. And he puts his image on us, just like that coin. Oh, Lord. But here's the other thing about a coin, you see. A coin has no value if it's not used. And the other thing about a coin is it's always owned by something or someone. A coin doesn't say, I am my own creator, I will go and do what I wish, does it? A coin has an owner. And here's the thing, you see, the coin can't save itself, can it? The coin isn't there under the lady's sofa. Help me! I'm very dusty. I got grime all over me. But no worries, I shall save myself. I don't know if that's how drachmas speak, but possibly. The coin doesn't do this. Find a brush and brush itself. No. Just as a coin can't find itself, men and women cannot find themselves. Your good works are not good enough to be found. Your churchian activities are not good enough to be found. Only Jesus can find you and clean you up. Oh, come on. Anyone else excited as I am? I mean, three verses and yet how much is there? Come on. Well, there's more. This is me editing on the fly. And this is how serious it is. Because when the trumpet does blast, or when we die and we go to meet our Maker, that's it. No more chance. This bride is like, I don't want my groom to come and see that I've only got nine because he's going to take me away and that's it. Do we sense the urgency in this? I bet she was panicking. You know what they used to do in Jewish culture is they would always be ready. I mean, there's another parable there about the brides, the 10 virgins of the brides, waiting with their oil lamp for the groom to come. Can you imagine the urgency of having to find this coin? Do we have the same urgency to find the lost? I think it's a challenge. Do we see people with the same value that God sees them, with the image of God imprinted on them? And what happens next? She lights a lamp and sweeps the house and seeks diligently until she finds it. Now, what does this mean? Well, scholars have proposed that what we see in the trilogy is actually the Trinity. You see, the shepherd represents Jesus, the good shepherd. The prodigal son, we have the father. So, therefore, what is the bride? It represents the Holy Spirit in the church. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because she's the bride of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus, the good shepherd, God, the loving father, and the Holy Spirit within the church are all in the business of saving the lost. How? And what does the bride do? What does the church do? What is the church supposed to do? She gets a lamp to search. What does the lamp and light in Scripture represent? Psalm 119, 104. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And how is the lamp lit? With oil. Who is the oil? The Holy Spirit of God. You see this? There are coins in darkness that don't see the darkness until we proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ. It is the word that brings light into the darkness. Do you see this? What the bride was doing, what the church should be doing, is taking the word of God out into the dark places, the good news of Christ. That is the role of the church, is it not? And then what happens? She gets a broom, and what does she do? Sweeps. What does that represent? Sweeping away the lies of the enemy that will keep people lost. You see this? The church takes the light of the word of God, and as we do that, the Holy Spirit convicts the hearts of the lost coins and reveals the lies of the enemy, and the truth is clear to see. Wow. So much in this parable. But you see, you can't read this parable and get an out clause, because you should be that woman taking the lamp to the dark places and go find those coins that have been invited to the marriage ceremony with the Lamb. That's our role. And then what happens when she finds the coin? I'll invite the band up at this point. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice for me, for I have found the coin that I lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Wow. We live in a world where success and accolades are based on the cultural acceptance of success around accumulating things, wealth, all of these things. And heaven looks at it and says, "Well, well done for being faithful." But then they look at one sinner that repents and a party breaks out. Are we living our lives based on that value system? I've been reading a book recently about heaven and near-death experiences. Scientific research that has looked into this, quote, phenomenon. And there is interest in, across cultures, the commonality with the Bible description of heaven. And, of course, it does map out hell as well, which is a reality too. But one of the things that it talks about is the life review piece. And it says, you know, the Lord will judge all of our works. Now, that's not salvation. We are saved by the blood of Christ, by his grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. We're not talking about the white throne judgment. That's the salvation piece. If you're already saved, you don't have to go through that judgment. But there is the bema seat of Christ judgment, which happens, which is the rewards, where Jesus will reward all of our works, good works, yeah? And the bema seat was a seat that happened in the Olympics way back. And that's where the contestants would go up to receive their rewards based on their works. And in these life reviews, you see, as it says in the scriptures, Lord rewards us for those works. Jesus says, does he not? Do not build up for yourself treasures on earth where rust and moth can destroy, but build up for yourself treasures in heaven where it does not. An indication that A, treasures exist, and B, we're called to build them up. But in these life reviews, the successes of this world, the business accolades, the money, it's almost skimmed over. It was those moments of love that were shown to one another, of seeking the lost, of finding the coins. And it's striking me as I read that. It is causing me to reevaluate my value system. And while intellectually I get it, we all study the word and we understand, it's amazing how easily we fall into it. And my prayer is, Lord, would you give me more opportunities to go and find lost coins? Because that's of value. That's what's important. It says in the word that everything else is just going to be burnt up. Not going to be of anything of value. And you see, this woman, this bride, she got it. My challenge for all of us is, do we get it? And we stand as I pray and as we worship.